Hey guys, this is Jessica Fury, real estate agent and wellness advocate. Welcome to my podcast. I am literally obsessed with personal development, creating a reality, and becoming successful as fuck. So I'm bringing it all here. This podcast explores the multifaceted journey to success, where real estate meets personal development, wellness, business, relationships, money, mindset, and more. I want to help you unlock your fullest potential. Let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to the podcast. Today we have Cindy Shanick. I'm going to actually let her introduce herself. However, so Cindy is a trauma healer. She is an intuitive counselor. She used to be an interior decorator. I don't even know how to announce her because a friend connected me with her, and just since she's come into my life from one form or another, like a lot of the path of things that I've been really like working on has started to really unfold, which is kind of wild. And Cindy, how do you, when people ask like who you are, what you are, what you do, how do you explain or how do you announce yourself?
My like 90 second spiel, or I always say I'm a spiritual healer and I specialize in trauma recovery. And, you know, people are like, oh, and like, what else? And I want to keep it very broad like that because a lot of people get scared when I start to go more into the esoteric stuff and the mysticism, which, yes, I'm an intuitive. I'm a medium. I was born with a gift. I'm a clairvoyant. However, at this moment in time, God, creator, has me working with souls and helping them free themselves from trauma. So that's like I'm a trauma recovery healer. I help people heal from trauma, like deep stuff, like at a cellular level, like generational ancestral trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to go way back. Can you tell me about your childhood? Did you grow up here? What was your childhood like?
God, are you going to make me cry, Jessica? Yeah. Oh, I'm in therapy all of a sudden. My childhood was rough. I think like many of us, we've gone through a lot of things. I was a home of domestic violence. My dad was an alcoholic. So then my mom left him. We actually like, I think I remember sleeping in a car for a few days because she was like, you know, it was like the last time that she was taking that beating. And, you know, she's like, bye. We got in the car and then we found a place. So that I was sexually molested for many years. And from then, like, you know, like that was kind of all my like childhood. Like, and then when I went into the teen years, I was desperately like looking for attention and love and all that stuff. And I was very sexually active, very young, kind of the wrong crowds. I think God really loves me because all of my friends back then were, they all, most of them like got pregnant, not me, like 14-year-old pregnant. Like that's how young my friends were. So then I had like my first awakening, I would want to say like in high school. My mom got married and I was like kind of like just kind of like living with my dad was a bachelor. So I was like with my dad, but like staying at my girlfriend's house. And I was like staying everywhere. Like I was kind of like couch surfing in a way. I had a home, my dad's, but I didn't like staying there. He's like, you know, bachelor, because I didn't want to move with my mom to Long Beach. So I stayed in the West Side. I went to Hamilton High School.
You're from L.A.?
I'm from L.A.
Okay.
I was born in Guadalajara, but I am Guadalajara, Jalisco. I came here when I was one.
Can you just say that again? Because it's so pretty.
Nací en Guadalajara, Jalisco. She wants me to do the whole podcast in Spanish, I think.
Just say something to your Spanish audience about letting them know to follow and like the podcast.
Oh my God, yes. Muchachos, tienen que seguir a Jessica Fury. Es una de mis clientas. La amo. Tiene una alma muy bonita. Por favor, vayan a seguirla y escuchar su podcast.
Fuck the rest of the episode. Perfect. It's so pretty. Okay.
We're going to teach you Spanish.
Yeah. Okay. So you were
a teen.
You went to Hamilton High School. Okay.
So teen. And then during my teen years, I had like my first awakening. Like, I don't know. Like, I think we have many awakenings. And I think it's like a moment where you're like you literally feel shocked and you're like, I can't do this anymore. Like something has to change in my life. And I think that happened. And it happened really young because there's a whole story. And I don't know that I want to tell it here because it's like TMI. But like my mom caught me you guys can imagine. And I was just kind of like, okay, this is, I can't do this anymore.
Wait, you know? She caught you having sex?
Yes. Okay. I was like, I was only like 13, 14. And I was like, I can't. So I literally like, I don't know, something just kind of like took over me. And it was like, I was done. And I think a lot of us have those moments like fuck the coach, fuck the spiritual healer. And it's like, I'm done. You feel it. Like I'm done to the bone. And you just like move on to your life and you don't know how you're going. So that happened to me. And I literally was like, okay, I was kind of like, I recovered myself in a way. I didn't realize that I did that back then. And I was like, nope. And I was like, this like a consciousness came through, went to high school. And I literally heard the little voice was like, do your time, get out of here. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't be part of the drama. Like go and do your time. Like camouflage, like become friends with everyone, like do your thing. And I did that. I was like sports here, track runner, like soccer, straight A students, did my time. Like 2.5 years into high school, I found a boyfriend, and he was like, I would say he was like my first love. He was my first true connection. And it was so beautiful. But he didn't go to school where I went. He went to University High School over there by Brentwood. So we were both very like mature. Like he was an artist. I was also an artist. I was in actually in the art program Magnet in Hamilton. So I've always been an artist. And then from there, like life happened really quickly. Like I was a really good girl. I had my little job and like my little, I bought myself a little car. And I just remember going to prom. My mom was like, don't tell dad, like go to prom. And my dad was like, you're not going to prom, super machista Mexican man. And when he found out I went to prom, he beat me the next day. Like he hit me. And,
what was the reasoning? Why? Like, why is there a reason you're not allowed to go to prom? Like what's the,
I feel like looking back thinking like I'm like my dad's everything, like I'm his oldest and I'm like his little girl and everybody says I'm his favorite. So I felt like as a machista man, like I was like going out of control. And like the fact that I probably had like, you're going with your boyfriend, like that just, he couldn't sit well with, oh, she's like a woman, you know, she's
become a form of disrespect.
Yes. 100%.
Okay.
And I think that was his way of getting control of the situation. Cause I went behind his back. Basically my mom was the one, you should go, you know, like it's your prom. So, after that, I just like, it was like in May, it happened like around May. I was about to graduate and it could, again, that moment, that feeling again, that it's not going to happen anymore. Like that feeling again happened in my like bones. Like I'm done. And I just remember like laser focus. I was like, it was, so my birthday's, I was 17. My birthday's in November, the 29th. So I just remember like, do your time, get the fuck out. And I remember cruising through the summer. And I just remember, I've always been a runner. Obviously not right now, but I've always been a runner. And I remember running and I saw this little sign, like studio first, like rent. And I went in, it was November 29th. Knocked on the door at the manager's like little apartment building. I was like, how much is it? And I was asking her and I was all sweating. She's like, and she was a Hispanic lady. Mija, like, ¿cuántos años tienes? Like, how old are you? And I was like, I'm 17, but I'm going to, tomorrow I'll be 18. And like, you know, I was telling her, I was trying to sell her. I was like, and she just looks at me. She's like, here are the keys. She's like, I'm like, but I'm not 18 yet. She's like, but you're going to be 18 in a few hours, right? I'm like, yeah. I showed her my, you know, I came back, showed her my ID. So that night, I went back to the apartment. My dad was working night shift. So I went back, got a black bag, put my back, my clothes in, and moved out. And when he came back, he was livid, and we didn't talk for a year and a half. And the next thing you know, we talk, I'm pregnant.
Was he abusive? Did he call you? Was he just like losing control and saying like,
I think he surrendered. He let me be. He realized like she's 18 now.
Oh, he didn't reach out to you?
No.
Oh, wow.
No, he didn't. He was very like, you know, he didn't reach out to me. I can see him through my window, like checking up on me sometimes.
Oh, he knew where you were living.
Yeah, he knew where I was living.
Oh.
Because it was really close by, like blocks away.
Okay.
Because I was running. So he saw my car in front.
Oh,
so
okay.
He knew. Yeah. So we didn't talk. He was like, and I've always been very crazy, like super like detached. Like I've been like detached from my family. I don't let it get to me. Like they hate that about me, but they also now love that about me because I don't, I'm super independent. Mm-hmm. So when I say no, I'm not going, like, sorry, I'm not going.
I agree with you.
You know,
I'm very similar in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of more or less, that's when that part of my life starts. And then we go from like I was single for a minute, living alone. Like I've always been a hustler. I don't know. I look back, Jessica, and I'm like, why do we worry about everything now? Back in the day, I was so freaking naive. I moved out and I didn't even know how I was going to pay my rent, but I paid it. And now like everything worries us, right? But it just worked out. And then I met baby daddy soon after, like 2 years, like a year and a half, 2 years of me living alone. A year and a half probably. And that was a whole other story. Like I started like a whole new episode of my life. I literally like my life, the decision of me leaving my dad's house shifted my life completely, because I already was accepted to UCLA in the communications program. I wanted to be a news anchor. So I was accepted with grants and all, like grants, because I did a lot of AP classes. So mm-hmm. I actually, my last year of high school, I actually took classes in UCLA. Mm-hmm. I took two classes and I would go on Saturdays. My mom used to take me on Saturdays for classes. And so I was supposed to go to UCLA, but that happened and I preferred my freedom. I didn't care like that I, you know, that I was going to go to college. So I just stayed home with my dad that was possessive of me. I didn't care. So I decided to go to Santa Monica, and I went to Santa Monica for 2 years. And then I met baby daddy and I got pregnant. So like, you know, right. Like I look back, like what my life could have been, but I don't take it back one bit now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think, and when you brought up something about like you meeting your baby daddy, mm-hmm. and you have three kids now,
three boys,
you have three boys, mm-hmm. all from the same dad.
Yes.
And do you think that you attracted the same type of man that was close to your dad?
That's a good question. Let me see. What is
wrong? And the reason I'm asking that is because sometimes we have like these repeated patterns, mm-hmm. that we don't know that we're attracting something, because we're going to attract something, and correct me if I'm wrong. We attract something until we do the work that we're no longer attracting that. We're attracting something that is better for us.
Yeah.
So your children's dad, was he possessive? Did he portray similar traits?
Yeah. You know what? You're asking amazing questions that I thought that I've reflected on and I haven't, which I love, because I think I didn't realize that Ramon was possessive in a way, mm-hmm. in his own way, not the same as my dad, but for sure he was. He shifted and evolved because I was with him for 14 years. I think looking back, like, I think one of the patterns that I see in men, and it's like, I think I told you this, like the Captain Save-A-Ho syndrome. I'm like, I'm not like, I don't want to save another man. I'm done.
I love it.
I'm done. And I think for sure that was my thing with him. I was like, I think it was mutual. You know, he thought he was saving me and I was saving him, and we both came from backgrounds and we're going to start a family and fuck our family. I mean, we never said that, but I think unconsciously we both wanted to escape our family and create our own. So in the interim, like we built an amazing family. He became a really big executive at a very well-known beverage, like health food beverage. And we hustled, we built, we bought our first home. I was only 26 when we bought my first home, and he was like 28, 30. So we really did hustle. And I think looking back, to answer your question, the possessiveness, and I think the biggest thing, the unconscious thing that with Ramon was, he gave me the perception that I was going to be safe now, that I had like a family, like what I've always wanted, because I never had a family. Like never did I have a family unit. It was always craziness at home. So we created that, which was very real. But then I think at the end, this is where it is. I pivot so much. I shifted so much to keep that reality, because that was my safety, that I dishonored myself. I forgot who I was. So I ended up becoming the super stay-at-home mom, the soccer mom. I was all of it.
So you didn't work?
So I did work for many years.
Okay.
And in the recession for 2007, 2008, I stopped working.
Okay.
And I stayed home for, so I was working for a long time and then I stopped working for 5 years. And I was at a stay-at-home mom back then.
That's how old were your kids when you stopped working?
Oliver was about, well, Oliver wasn't even born. Joshua was around 6, 7, I think.
Okay.
And then Ramoncito was a year and change.
Oh, okay.
So
you're little.
Little. And then that's when I decided to have my third one soon after. I'm like, well, we're just going to stay home. Let's have a baby. Let's try to have a girl. And it was a boy. So mm-hmm. I stayed home for a minute. Yeah.
Did you feel as if that by staying home that you started to disconnect from the things that you were trying to pursue within yourself?
Yep.
And what were those things that you started to feel?
To be honest with you, I didn't even know what the fuck they were back then. Mm. I didn't know what it was because I was literally so like I truly believe that was the life. And you know what? Looking back, that was a life I needed to live. That was the life I needed to live, but mm-hmm. it was so like, I loved it. I loved my life.
Just for context, would it be like a life of privilege? Would it be a life of having everything there with you, handed to you? How would you, if somebody's listening, and what would be the way to describe it?
1,000%.
In like a superficial, materialistic way.
What you just said, it was mm-hmm. a life of privilege. I mean, mm-hmm. we built it. We mm-hmm. did it together. We start from zero. We mm-hmm. literally lived in like a little single and we bought our home and he, you know, it was a sacrifice. We were a team. Like mm-hmm. I'll fucking handle the house. Mm-hmm. He was never home. He was 14-hour days and I took care of everything so he can like make the money, which he did. He delivered tenfold and I had a nanny. We had cars, we had a Porsche, we had a Yukon, we had vacations at the one and only at, you know, Cabo all the time. That was our spot. Like we actually had a butler and a nanny down there. We would mm-hmm. go 4 times a year. Mm-hmm. So it was a life of privilege for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
You know, when I met you, you were telling me that sometimes when we're attracting people to us, we're also like, if we're unhealed, we're still going to be reacting and behaving and repeating things. Mm-hmm. What were some of the specific things that you, because I believe that we have to take responsibility for our part and seeing mm-hmm. our part. And do you think that, were you reactive? How were you reactive? Did you feel as if you weren't getting everything that you wanted? Like what were some of the behaviors that were, the things that were coming up for you?
During that time, I feel like I really was genuinely in love with my life. And it wasn't about the stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, my kids were healthy. Like, actually, Ramon and I had a really good relationship. Like, even though he worked, he always made time to, like, go on dates. And, you know, he was very, like, present when he was home. So I was really happy. I was mm-hmm. genuinely happy. However, I'm not, like, the one thing that kind of did, like, it was my body screaming and I didn't realize I had my first depression bout when Oliver was like a year old. It was severe. I was like in the darkness for 30 days. Like when I mean I was in my room, nobody could get me out. But I was because due to exhaustion mm-hmm. and not like taking care of myself, like not going to work out, like not I was working out and everything. And I think the way I didn't react consciously. I reacted, my body was reacting unconsciously to like telling me like, you're not listening to me. You're not like something's not okay. And the something not okay was literally like me feeling like shit. I was always exhausted. I kept on getting hurt. I had like in 3 years, there was like 3 accidents that happened in my family. And I think this God was trying to tell me like, listen to me, something's not in alignment here. That's how I had my retina detachment, my eye. My son, like, broke his femur 1 year. Like, it was, like, 3 things, like, back to back to back. 3 years. It was literally 3 summers in a row. Mm-hmm. And then literally the final summer that was, like, after that, like, 6 months in or 7 months later, like, that's when we divorced. Like, that's when everything ended. But I was so naive. Like, I didn't even know that Ramon was cheating on me. Like, because I literally, we had that, like, deep, like, trust. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I love my life, mm-hmm. you know?
That must have been really hard.
It was the most horrendous thing I went through. Like, I think that the divorce was what broke me. Like, when we first separated, I was so naive. I'm telling you, I was, like, brainwashed. Not brainwashed. I don't want to say that. I literally did love my life, and we had a good relationship. And he just, I don't know. He just did what he had to do. But literally, it was like a stupid little fight. It was like we had just celebrated our 10th year anniversary in Paris. We had gone to Paris and London for our 10th year anniversary. We got back from the trip and I was like, hey, babe, like we need to get like Oliver to like preschool. And I don't want to take him to the other preschool because they got sick really. So we were looking at a preschool in Palos Verdes, a nice preschool, like kind of hippy dippy, but like, you know, like clean. Mm-hmm. And he just like, you just want to spend money. And he like, I can't tolerate you no more. And he left. He left, and I think it was an excuse because I think the other woman was already in. She was already, actually, I had confirmed she was already in the picture, but I didn't know. So I was very confident. I've always, even though I was a very confident woman, I was taking care of myself. I was super fit, and I was like running the household. And I was like, okay, take a break. He took a break. He got his little bachelor pad in Rolling Hills, and we had our house in West Torrance. So he was paying for everything, mortgage, like both places. We did that for a year later to the dot. I literally went to his apartment. I was in a toxica. I'm not a toxica. Like I gave him so much freedom that I didn't even know where he lived until a year later, because one of my kids called me that he had gone on a trip and they weren't feeling well. So I'm like, I had like, hey, who's watching you guys? And I was like, text. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go pick up the boys. Mm-hmm. And when I went into the apartment, I saw the roses. I was like, oh, shit. Like, that moment, Jessica, was, like, literally, like, a novela. I literally was like...
What's that?
Like, a drama. Like, a Grey's Anatomy. Like,
I'm like a white girl.
Like, a novela is, like, literally soap opera. There you go. It was, like, a soap opera. Literally a soap opera. I walk in, and I'm like, something got into me. I was like, that moment again, that feeling... Uh-huh. I remember, look at the sitter. I was like, can you get the kids? Because he lived in an apartment complex. Like, get the kids and bring them downstairs. Wait for me in the car. And girl, I literally, like, I went into his bedroom and I started to see all her stuff. I was so clueless. Mm. And I just, like, literally, like, I am not overreacting, but I don't know what came over me. Like, rage and anger and sadness. I literally fell to the floor to scream, crying. Like, I was like, I can't believe this is happening. And I remember it was so, like, so I broke his, like, bottles of, like, I destroyed his apartment. I was pissed. And, like, I didn't even realize I was bleeding. And I just remember I was, like, about to walk out the door. And I just remember cleaning myself again. And I went into the car. And I didn't look back because the kids were sitting in the back. And I just remember the sitter was, I didn't even look at her. I was like, can you stay? So I dropped him off at the house. I went to my girlfriend's Jill's. She's like, Cindy, I'm never going to forget that day. Mm-hmm. The way you looked, the way you screamed, cried, never going to forget that day. My girlfriend Noemi that stayed with me that night. They came to pick up the kids because I was a wreck. So that was the beginning of my end, because it took me 3 years. I literally was fighting for my marriage for 3 years. I was such, I look back, I'm such a fucking idiot. Like, bitch, he doesn't want to be with you. It broke me. And after 3 years of literally the minute that we, like, that's how I ended up starting my healing, this, because I was so in such depression that I looked for Reiki and I looked for everything. Nothing was helping. Nothing was helping me until I'd like spiritual help, started Reiki. Reiki freaking saved my life with my nervous system. And, I remember for my 21 days of Reiki, we do like a cleanse, and I set my intention, God, I just want a divorce, because he didn't want to get divorced. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just want a divorce. I don't want to fight. I don't want to go to court. And literally like 2 months later, I got the calmness to talk to him. And I told him, maybe we need to be like Diego Rivera and Frida. Like, we need to like divorce and then we're going to get married in the future. That was the only way he let me go. Because he didn't really want to let me go. But he still wanted to have the other woman. And long story short, from there, like, literally, like, the minute we got divorced, that woman moved in, like, a month later. So he was lying to me still. Then 6 months later, he proposed to her in Cabo. And then a year later, they got married. Mm-hmm. So that's how I started doing what I do now. Because I went through that journey. And I really did go through it alone. I did, but I had to pull myself out of severe depression, suicidal thoughts, all of it, because it was breaking my only reality. It was like my reality. So,
I mean, I believe that sometimes in our like deepest and darkest moments that we have to pull ourselves out of it. Like, we were talking about this before we got into the podcast. So I was going through like a really dark period of time. And I have like several like healing modalities mm-hmm. that are in my life. I use plant medicine. Mm-hmm. I go to Al-Anon. I have mm-hmm. like a very close community of people in my life that speak the language of like mm-hmm. wellness, like wellness that's different than going to the gym, but wellness, like being mm-hmm. on a path of longevity. And there was a time period that I didn't want to talk. Like I wanted to talk to people, but I almost was really shut off from hearing the things that other people were saying. But it was a podcast that really connected me back into a place of, I can turn on a podcast and don't have to speak, but I can just listen to something and it can connect to me for whatever it is that I need to hear on that particular day. So like a podcast is something that I'm very connected to because I feel as if it's like this genuine way of carrying a message that like I can turn on any episode of anything that I want to listen to. So during that really dark period of time, I would just turn on an episode of whatever it was that I was feeling that day or I needed to hear.
Yeah.
And like more and more, I just was connecting to more things. So I believe that with the help of others, whatever that is, that we do need to take that responsibility for our healing, for our trauma mm-hmm. work, for the mm-hmm. work that we're doing on the inside. But I want to just ask this really briefly. You did interior decorating.
I worked in an interior design firm for 11 years.
Like, and that was when you had your kids.
So when I had my first son, I went in as a receptionist. He was 2. So I stayed there for a while until almost he was 6. And then I took a break and then I went back. I went back in 2013 and stayed there all the way through 2019.
Were you still getting throughout that time? Because that's a long period of time to be invested in a career, in a job or, you know, work. Were you still getting those intuitive messages to yourself? Like why you, like, were you getting those and what were they?
It didn't, my intuition like didn't really fucking like blow up until like 2018. So 2013 started the divorce and I 3 years of like healing, then divorce. And then 2016 to 2018, I did a lot of self-discovery. I learned how to dance salsa. I traveled. I was just kind of like this like floater. I didn't know where I was going. Mm-hmm. And then 2018, it was just like pop, like boom, boom. Like all of my intuition started to come back. I started to like intuitively, like, you know, you want to do reading? Do you want to do Reiki? I started with Reiki. And then when I was doing Reiki, I was like, oh shit, like, why am I hearing like angels and dead people? Like somebody's grandfather, I can feel them and I can feel people's energy in their body. When I was like, and I was just doing it for free, for fun to my coworkers. Mm-hmm. Cause I was like, this is cool. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, it feels, and people loved it. It was like, I feel relaxed. So and I did navigate both for a minute. I juggled both. And I think 2019 was kind of the year that just kind of blew up and I was starting to get called to do podcasts, like, and I was blogging and I was like doing, I had like my merch. I was doing like women empowerment like stuff. So I was really starting to get out there. That year was like my year of really getting out there to the community. And that's how kind of my like this whole thing starts, of me being more of a public person aside from a healer. So, yeah, I was navigating both, bitch. I was like, I would tell people, when you really want to start a business, God will make time. I was a mom of 3, single mom of 3 boys that were little back then. I had I call it my third shift. I would, you know, do like drop off, work, dinner, homework, shower, business. Mm-hmm. From 9 to 2 a.m. was business, like building business for like 3 years straight, 2 years straight.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk trauma. I think it's one of those things, Cindy, that like when you're working through it and you're on the other side of some of it and then you see certain things come up, whether with family members or other people mm-hmm. around, like I'm like, oh, that's just like a pattern that's like a trauma. Mm-hmm. And what is the underlining or the common denominator that you hear when people come to you?
The common denominator, I feel like right now, is they use a lot of the word, I'm stuck. I feel stuck. I feel stuck. I feel stuck. I feel like right now, a lot of it, it's like they feel numb. Like they don't feel in their body. They don't have like that. They don't know where they're going. They feel lost, feeling lost. They feel some are feeling a lot, but they don't know what they're feeling. And some are feeling a lot and they know what they're feeling. And it's just overstimulated, like an overstimulated emotional, like body system. And it's like, I'm depressed. I'm angry. I feel unsafe. Like it's like rage or like severe sadness. So it's overfeeling. Some of people don't know what it is, what they're feeling, but it's overfeeling. When it comes to like the, it's just sad. It's a feeling. They just feel it. They're like, I feel like I'm lost, mm-hmm, and numb, mm-hmm, and unstuck. Those are the words that are mostly used.
So you go in there and how would you explain the work that you do to unstick or open up, like whatever the verbiage that you use, yeah, that help people get onto the other side or even can help them to continue to be on that path of self-discovery?
Yeah.
Because ultimately it's like a self-discovery, yep, and just constantly wanted to evolve into more and greater parts of just understanding yourself.
Yeah, it just depends on the case, because cases, I deal with really severe cases, like a lot, like severe stuff, like rape and incest and severe traumatic experiences at childhood that I'll just, you know, like a brief little case, but I'll go through, like, at least in my head, the way that it has typically worked, it goes this way. But like, I'll share one case of a woman in San Diego. I become family with all my friends, all of my clients, because it's like I see their transformation, and it's like the first people they call, like, I got pregnant, I have a boyfriend, is me, because they, you know, it's like such a intimate, sacred thing that we do when we're in those sessions. But in this case, for example, probably late 40s, really amazing high education professor, and you know, on the outside we look all great. And we're smart because we're in a school and we figure shit out. We're like smart. But on the inside, we're like literally their body's dying. And she came with a severe rash. She's like, and her sister had worked with me. So she's like, you need to go. Like, that's how you word of mouth. You have to go to Cindy. You have to, mm-hmm, go to Cindy. She comes to see me and I can see it in her demeanor. She's in San Diego, like just gray. Mm. And like, you know, we went in and it was some crazy deep trauma in the family unit, you know, with her father. And the thing with trauma, because you don't know any other environment, you really believe that's your reality. Mm-hmm. And once you start to like realize that that's not your reality, but the body is taking score, the body is telling her there's something wrong here. Like something's not, you know, you're not in alignment with your life right now, like, mm-hmm, something's not working. Mm-hmm. So her body was the one that's like, she, mm-hmm, was like, the doctors can't figure out what it is. Long story short, it was a severe case. Like she not only like had like the traumatic, you know, like she, it's like being brainwashed. You don't even realize that how bad it is until you're like on the other side. Mm-hmm. And we did a lot of clearing. So the first, like, hers was severe. 6 months of clearing. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? She, you know, I go to San Diego twice a month, once a month, and she was committed. The people that are really committed, mm-hmm, they have like transformations like this. And they see me twice a month or once a month, depending on what it is or what feels right. And 6 months of a lot of transmutation, a lot of layer work. What does that mean? Like, I do the first session is like, the first session is like a surgery. Like, we need to get you to base level. We need to get you out of the darkness, out of the hole, out of like, and it's literally removing, mm-hmm, a lifetime of sadness, mm-hmm, and fear and programming that's at a cellular level. So phase one is always clearing, and it's, mm-hmm, like bringing, so the body, the cells, the nervous system is talking. we're so fucking smart. That's the thing. We're the animals with the biggest brain. So we know how to make up stories to feel safe. But the body's like, nope. So we did, you know, a lot of we did a lot of rewiring of the nervous system. And it's cool because it comes out in as the sessions come out, things just start to unravel. Oh my God. I can't believe it. I keep on attracting this. And it's powerful stuff. But that first session is a clearing, and it's at least let's get you to out of the hole. And then we start to do that layer work. And she's now at the point I feel like I'm in session with her now, because she's such a divine being that she was able to rapidly open up her intuition. And she's such a beautiful soul. The way she speaks now, she trusts, she's in a flow. And that's the other thing. A lot of my clients, I would say 70% of them are highly intuitive. So they're so, because we're highly intuitive, especially where we were born that way, we're automatic empaths. We're born with a healing gene that we want to heal people even at that little age. So we start to ingest that trauma, and we think it's ours. We think it's our fault. We want to fix people, and it's not that way. Nobody teaches a 6-year-old, 7-year-old. It's not your energy. It's your mom's. Mm-hmm. It's not yours. It's your dad's. Mm-hmm. But we end up believing it's ours, and we bring it into our system. Energy's energy. It goes into the cells. So she's had a powerful transformation, but there's many cases like that. Clearing. We begin with clearing after the layer.
What's clearing?
We're clearing the DNA. We're clearing the fucking disc.
To explain to someone, how do you explain what clearing is? Because someone's like, what's this clearing stuff?
Yeah, that's good. So it is many different modalities. So I, obviously with my gift, I do breath work. I do somatic release. I do Reiki. I do energy work. I do hypnosis. And a lot of the clearing is done through that. We're energetic beings. So just imagine you being in a car, you've never cleared out your freaking filters, and you're just dense, and that's the filters of all that trauma. That's our reality. So the clearing phase is that we're clearing belief systems, fears, we're clearing energy. I'm literally it's deep shit. It's it's exhausting. It's not easy. It's exhausting for the person that's doing it. In her case, it was 6 months, and out of the 6 months, she was sick 3 of them, with severe flus.
Oh, wow.
Because that's how much she was transmuting on her cellular level.
Wow.
Her cells were purging.
Wow.
Purging. And it was on and off flus. And literally we laughed because I got to month 8, August. She's like, can you believe I feel amazing now? She's like, it was just, and she realized I was just clearing my cells of all that trauma, all that emotion, all that shit that she was, her environment. So clearing. So that's clearing. It's everything. It's not just the cells. It's your mind. It's reconnecting things to what's real, right? What's real is I think what's real is we feel it. The thing is, when we're in trauma, our internal guidance system gets distorted. So that's I clearing that so you can come back to trusting yourself. And then phase two is the trusting part, the embodiment. Oh, who the fuck am I? Oh, I think I like this. Oh, this is who I am. So the second phase is that self-discovery part. And that's I don't even know. It can be a month, 2 months. It just depends on the person. And then usually it's people work for me, minimum, people with a severe trauma, a year. And then from there, it's powerful shit. We're embodiment. I mean, and life keeps on happening. So now you have tools. Now you know how to deal with shit. So you're not completely dirty, right? Or completely intoxicated with the shit. Because, we pick up trauma all the time. We pick up emotions. We pick up energy. So now we have tools. We're clearing all the time. We know how to clear. And now, I know who I am. And that evolves. That keeps on developing. And then, cool. Now I have all this. What do I want to make? Who do I want to become? That's the powerful shit. Because to me, it's once you have all of that, and life is not going to be easy. Life is going to be harsh. It's going to happen. But once you have those tools, you can literally we become limitless beings. We just have to this is what you have to decide what you want for God to hear you. And it has to be out of the right place.
That is what Bufo provided for me.
I want to hear.
And you are one of the first people that I thought of And then I called you however many weeks later to talk about it. But let's say someone's listening and they're like, I'm stuck. And like right now, what is something that you can suggest? Obviously they can pick up the phone. They can follow you on your Instagram and all that stuff. They can reach out to you. But right now someone's like, I'm really stuck. What are some tools that you can provide for someone who is feeling stuck right now that they can take care of?
At this moment?
Yep.
For me, number one, nature. Go to nature. Why nature? Even as dense, because we become dense, like literally hard, like heavy. Nature is our number one healer. And I mean it, like you go for a walk, go ground, go to the beach, but stay there. Don't go there for 30 minutes. Like, stay there for like 3-4 hours.
In nature?
Yes. Oh. It sounds crazy, but it's amazing. Like when I'm like feeling heavy because of the work that I do, I'll leave it at Joshua Tree and I'll stay there for 3 days and not talk to a soul. Mm-hmm. But it's there's something about Mother's Nature's resonance. We're all energetic beings, and being in silence and being in Mother Nature, she has this healing energy that's literally she's emitting. And so it's so powerful to go to nature. You feel immediately more at peace, even if it's for a moment. That's why I believe a lot of people started hiking during the pandemic. Not because, let's go hiking. It's because people were losing their shit. So hiking, you know, like nature. So that's number one. I feel like immediately, like, I know this is going to sound stupid and crazy. Be honest with yourself.
Be honest with yourself of what? Of what? Like,
sometimes
the career, the job, like,
all
what
of
is
that.
It?
All of that, my love.
What are the questions that you ask yourself?
So to me, and it's hard questions because we're scared, right? We're scared of change. We're scared of leaving. We're scared. It's like, is this really serving me? Is this relationship serving me? Is this job serving me? Is this job making me feel safe, confident? Am I being seen? And it goes both ways, because if you're not doing it, then you can't talk shit. So is it an even exchange? So, and being honest is hard, because, you know, they're like, fuck, you know what? I shouldn't be here. I did that because I'm a people pleaser. So people pleasers are the ones that suffer the most, because we're so highly disconnected from our internal guidance system. Let me think of another good one. I feel like doing energy shocking. I like energy shocking. Energy shocking is a homework that I give to all my people. I think I told you to do that too. I don't remember.
I don't know.
It was like, do two new things, new random things. Like, challenge yourself to break your hamster wheel. So if you're feeling like shit, let's say, you know what? I don't have the energy. I don't care. Call your friend. Go have a coffee. Bring in new energy. Like, bring in new energy into your reality. Because we're all like, oh, the work, the gym, like, bring new energy. And I tell people, two new things in a week. And it doesn't have to be crazy, and you don't have to spend money. It can be go to the gym, like, go to the beach to walk with your friend, go have some coffee, go at an event, you know, go on a pain night. It's like, bring new energy. Those immediately shift you. I would say on an energetic level, those would be my things.
I want to do an exercise.
Yeah.
Can we do an exercise?
Of course.
I want to do an exercise to help calm the nervous system.
Yes.
So can you put me and whomever else through something to help calm the nervous system? Yeah. And that can be done at any particular period of time.
Yes. I love doing this. I think... I would say first, if you can go out if you're, let's say, at work and you have a little spot, you can go out and sit in the sun, preferably do it in the sun. I love it. You can do this if you're going to nature, but let's say even if you don't have it, you can do it in your car. And it just should take 5 minutes, but if you can do it more, it'd be better. So do you want to do it?
Okay.
So get comfortable. I'm going to get comfortable.
I'm comfortable.
Yeah, you're comfortable. Okay. So, and you too, get comfortable. Like, don't force your body. Get comfortable.
Are my eyes open or closed?
Close your eyes.
Close my eyes.
Yeah, we're going to close our eyes. I'm crossing my legs so I'm comfortable, but don't cross your legs, actually.
Don't cross my legs.
The energy flow.
Okay. Short.
So just find your space, right? Like, get comfortable. And I tell people, like, just close your eyes. And the first, like, 2 minutes of this exercise, just become aware of your body. Don't think. And I know it's hard to do that. So how I do that is I start to, like, visualize a light in the middle of your eyes. And I want you to start to feel your body from the top of your head. Like, just scan it. And you can start to breathe. Deep breath with your nose. Inhale out. Surrender your body. There you go. And keep on scanning your mind. Like, keep on scanning your jaw. Breathe in again. Your throat. And every exhale, just go deeper and deeper and surrender your body. Your chest. Your tummy. Your womb, your pelvic area for men. Your thighs. Your knees. Your calves, your feet. Do it one more time on your own. Each time inhaling it in. Exhaling it out. At this point, I want you to start to visualize a beautiful golden sun over your head. And I want you to start to breathe in that energy from the sun with all of your intention. Almost like a shower. So... And then exhale out with force. Every time you're exhaling, I want you to picture everything leaving, the stress. You're breathing in the sun, which is light, which is love. And then push it out. You can even just, when you exhale it, really push it out of your body. And if you want to feel even more connected, you could even put your hands on your womb and your chest, your heart chakra. And keep on going. And I want usually to stay in here for about 5 minutes. And when you're ready, you can just be still inside your third eye and just watch the energy just kind of flow in your body. Like, don't even think about anything. Just feel your hands. And at this point, if you're into affirmations, you can start to intuitively pick some that make you feel good. Like, I am safe right now. Everything's working in divine order. You can focus on maybe a theme every time you do this. I trust the hands of God in my life. Just whatever comes to mind, because it could be with worth. It can be with abundance. It could just be the theme of the day. And then when you're ready, you could take one deep breath. And then just come back.
I'm floating.
Yeah.
Just, I love stuff like that.
Yeah. It's like simple. Like, the key thing with this is becoming still enough to be aware of your body. Because 90% out of time, we're out of our body. Mm-hmm. Our head's that way. But our body's here. And it's just like 5-10 minutes of awareness. Like, and I always say, like, first, like, the first minute, just be aware. Oh shit, where am I? Second phase is like, oh, let's scan every part of our body with your breath. Mm-hmm. You know, all the way. And then every time you exhale, just you start to feel like you relax every part of that body. Mm-hmm. You're removing energy. And then from there, like, the third phase is just like literally you breathing in with intention, mm-hmm. and letting that energy is just, it's mm-hmm. literally, I call it running energy, which is literally like, we're just running, you know, when you're mm-hmm. plugged into a phone's plugged in, it's running energy, mm-hmm. and you can visualize that light. You're mm-hmm. just charging yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that. I feel like it's like a morning or like a nighttime thing you can do.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. It's easy. And you can do it. Cool. All, like, if you have a stressful day, like, I used to do that after work. This is my trick for my mommies. If you work, get on your car and you're driving home, right? I would park like 3 blocks before my house and I would do 30 minutes of this before walking in home. saved my life for all those years.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, because it would reset my energy. Yeah.
So you're back to doing daily quickies.
Yes.
What's that?
Oh my God, daily quickies are bring me so much joy. I started them in 2020. So daily quickies, of course, you know, there's like a quickie, you know, when you have a quickie, wink, wink, right? Who doesn't like a daily quickie?
Loves it.
It's the best thing you could do in the morning.
Shout out to my future OnlyFans.
Daily quickie. Best thing. It's getting hot in here. Literally, I can feel your energy.
Sorry, if I have to do it, I'm just going to.
Oh God. So I started them in 2020, and it was kind of like, so in Hispanic culture, there's a person called, his was famous, like he's a legend. His name is Walter Mercado. He was like the original, like before anything, like in the 80s, and he started in the like 60s. He would wear his capes and his rings, and he would come out and he's like, Aquarius, and today your energy is going to be like, every day it was come out at 5:45. It was like a news, it was in the news, but it was kind of like the daily events. And it was like Primer Impacto. They're based out of Miami. So he would come out at 5:45. He did it for years at 5:45 every day with his capes. And I grew up listening, like every Hispanic person knows, they know him. Like we know that when it was 5:45, your mom told you, shut the fuck up. Walter Mercado was coming on.
PM, AM?
PM.
Okay.
So he's one of my like legends. And I just felt so connected even at like 5, 6, 7, like seeing him. Wow. So it was my homage to him in a way. Back in 2020, everyone's bored. And 2020 was a very, like, I just entertained people. I literally would go live and dance salsa. Then I would do the daily quickies. And just because I wanted to put like positive energy out. So I started that. And it was kind of also like a challenge for me. Like, do I trust myself? Because I was like, oh, what do I know? What if like people don't like resonate with it? It was very scary. Like, mm-hmm. like shit. Like, am I saying the right thing? Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of escalated to a thing where like, I mean, before Ramon passed, I took a break. So my last daily quickie was literally when I announced that he was sick, which was back in September. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the community was almost like 100 strong live every like Tuesday morning, 9 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah. From all over the world. Just wow. Like, yeah. Yeah. So the daily quickies is just me reading energy for the week for mm-hmm. all the signs, all the astrological signs. And I read energy and I do it through reading through a tarot deck. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I watched it last week because of the cancer. Yeah. Is there something that's like coming through you right now? Or is it something that like when you're in a particular space? I've always wondered that with people.
How it happens? How like spirit happens. I feel like I'm at the point in my life where I know how to shut it off, unless like mm-hmm. you know unless it's like, it's funny because now that you said that, your brother's here. Mm-hmm. He's over here. He's like right there on your left side. Mm-hmm. He's very proud of you. He's saying something about don't stop, don't give up. There's something that you keep on going back and forth with about your life, like I should just be done with it. Mm-hmm. But he's like, don't give up. Mm-hmm. And what's the reference to a car? Are you buying a new car? Do you want to get a new car? Something with a car. What's going on with the car?
I don't know. I love my car.
Yeah, but maybe was it his car? What happened to his car?
I have no idea, but I love my car.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's like, I don't know why he's making a reference to it. Was it his car?
Weird. I don't know.
What happened at the, like, what happened to his car at the end? Like what?
I don't know.
Okay.
I literally have no idea.
Cause he's like showing me a car.
Yeah.
But I think it's his car and something with the car, but he's also showing me like a spot in the car. Like,
oh, interesting. Yeah. I don't.
Okay. So, I don't know why, but maybe you talk to your dad, your parents about this, the car yeah. thing situation. Because I think they're going to know what it is. Something with the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a trip coming up to a lake or going to a lake or body of water?
I don't know, but I've thought about going away.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've thought about going away and just taking a break.
Yeah.
Just to reconnect. Yeah. Just to reconnect. Just to take a break.
I think it's time. Because you showed me the body of water and you're traveling there. It feels very serene. Mm-hmm. Very serene. Very, 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 like, chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just so always so interesting when people can connect to those things.
Yeah, he feels really calm. He feels like, you know, he's grateful for how you honor him, because I feel like you do all the time. You're always like talking to him, or there's a way that you like connect with him, and he's very aware of that, how you do that. So he's like kind of like acknowledging there that, and he's just kind of like the past is in the past. Like, it's not like relevant anymore. Mm-hmm. Like everything from the way you guys would connect or not, like it's in the past. Mm-hmm. It's like a whole, he's using the word like fresh start. It's a fresh start mm-hmm. for everyone, mm-hmm. at least for you and him, especially. Cause I feel you were able to reconnect with him differently now. Because I feel there was, you weren't able to connect with him the way you wanted to connect, because there was a lot of guilt involved mm-hmm. or a lot of this weird feeling. Mm-hmm. But now it's like for him, it's like a fresh start. Like it's almost like you guys, in his mind, it's like we talked about it, it's over.
Yeah.
It's a fresh start.
Yeah. I think like one of the things that just like has really helped me to create a better understanding is just like what addiction is. How people struggle with addiction, and like I just have like such a better, it's not like I have a better understanding, like I'm going to be schooled on it mm-hmm. but I get it
yeah well, that I makes get sense.
It don't I don't get it from the from the point of somebody who has had one, but I get it from the other side of just understanding yeah. what it is and how it affects people's lives.
Yeah, maybe that's why he means fresh starts, because for him, like, I think he's like, it's almost like he's like, I'm good. He feels really calm, and it's like, it's a fresh start. Like, he has a fresh start. Like, he's clean.
A whole other topic, and I'm honestly like, I'm going to bring Cindy in when I bring another person in, just so she can sit there and like do her work through the other person here. Do you think that in an after, this is like totally unrelated to anything I talk about on this podcast. Do you think that people, when they're dead, they can still heal?
1,000%. Yes. That's what I felt like your brother is saying. A fresh start.
Think that during.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm like, why is he keep on saying the word fresh start? Fresh start. He's at a fresh start. 100%. And I feel like I'm going to be real. Sometimes it depends. Because there's people that don't and they carry it on, but it's always going to be, it needs to be transmuted, you know? But I also really believe that at the end of the day, God does have so much mercy on us. And I think that's the biggest thing. One of the biggest things that I've seen in the work that I do, which makes me really sad, is that we think we're God. We think we can decide to be angry, to be sad, to carry this pain. Like, we think we're God. Like, I'm going to carry this. Like, it's my right to be angry at what they did to me.
Uh-huh. Wow. Uh-huh.
And I feel like he's like, bitch, like, you're going to pass away. And, like, I'm going to, like, clear you. I'm going to clear everyone.
Yeah, it's like, let go.
So why are you doing that to yourself now? Mm-hmm. So to me, I feel like the work is like having mercy and grace with yourself. And I do feel like what I do want to say when it comes to that question, he clears you. He clears like that soul, like that mm-hmm. soul. Like, for example, like he'll clear me, Cindy, right? When I go like in what the lifetime. But I also believe that we get like DNA, like our DNA, our like consciousness, our soul, like our essence mm-hmm. is always going to carry DNA, like spiritual lessons in there that we're going to have to learn again. He clears us, but guess what? When we come back mm-hmm. in another body, we then have to sometimes really clear mm-hmm. some of that karma. Mm-hmm. You're mm-hmm. forgiven, but mm-hmm. it's going to have to, like, you know what I mean?
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That is, like, so, I don't know. All that stuff is so wild, and I can, like, talk to you
For hours.
For hours. For hours. Thank God I got your number. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Like, thank you so much. It was just perfect timing. I like to ask my guests three questions before they leave. What is a non-negotiable in your morning routine that sets you up for the day?
My non-negotiable right now is I need to have a slow morning. I can't rush through my morning. I can't jump off of bed and like boom. I just because of the work that I do, like my mornings have to be slow. What does that mean? Whatever I want them to be. So if I get up and I go to the gym, like today I got up to the gym and I took a long ass drive down PV and relaxed. Cause then I'm one of those persons, once I work, I'm working. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not going to like take a break. Mm-hmm. I'll eat, but I won't like take a, you know what I mean? Like I'm going. So slow mornings are important. So I even sometimes I like my eyes went open today at 5:30, but I didn't get off of bed until 6:30. So it's one of the new things I give myself permission, because I feel like I have a lot of people that have trauma with waking up in the morning. We have trauma because of how get up and go to school. So it's like, no, like I don't want to do that to
myself. Maybe that's why I like to sleep.
And it's like, I can't do that to myself. And we put so much pressure on ourselves with the morning, which is some people need that routine, which is dope. And that's good to each their own. But for me, I need a slow morning. And that means I literally, when I stay with my boyfriend, because I have to drive from there to for session, I literally put the alarm like 2 hours before I have to leave his house, because we wake up, we talk and while we're in bed, we drink our coffee, and then I'm awake and then I leave. Mm-hmm. So I don't like to do that, because I remember for me, my trauma was my mom worked and she took the bus. So we would wake up at 5 a.m. and she literally sometimes would make me sleep with my clothes. Aww. So that I can just get up so we can go and like literally half asleep, like with my pillow still on my head kind of feeling, and like get the bus.
Yeah.
So to me, like literally, and which is a good question you should ask yourself, how was your morning routine when you were little?
Oh, if I told you, you would think I'm nuts.
Yeah, how was your morning routine?
I went to a Catholic school my whole entire life. Mm-hmm. I don't practice religion now, but I went to a Catholic school my whole life. And I literally was almost like a perfect child. Like I laid my clothes out at the end of my bed, the way that I would wear them, with the shoes sitting in front. Mm-hmm. My bag was sitting right by the door of where I would be leaving in the morning. I literally was like everything. And if you touched it, I was very upset. Everything had to be in its place perfectly.
Does that continue?
I don't know because I live by myself, so everything is already in its place because it's mine.
Fun when you get to live with somebody.
I don't know. I'm sure that there's some sort of perfectionist part that's still there, and safety I'm okay control. With that.
It's fine. Yeah.
I'm You'll okay get with to work it. With that. I kind of like it because I'm very organized. I don't know. Maybe that's why I have to chase after people for certain things. What is a piece of advice or suggestion you can offer to someone, whether in their business, their relationship, their well-being, their wellness routine, or just their overall healing?
I feel like right now in my time in life, the biggest thing I know for sure is everything. It sounds so cliche, but yes, everything's always like working out the way it needs to be worked out. I believe like I see God work in my life, and I'm like, it always works out. However, the stress doesn't go away, which is being human. So it's okay to be stressed. It's okay to worry, but trust me, like it's going to be okay. Like everything's going to come out the way it needs to come out or better. Mm-hmm. And it always does. Mm-hmm. It always does.
What are three qualities of yourself peers would say about you?
Oh, wow. I feel, I guess what I hear a lot or people tell me is, I don't know. I don't get to like think of myself that way. I just go. I just do.
But you have all these friends. You have these community people. People don't ever say, you're so so-and-so. You're so so-and-so.
I guess like one of the things, like you're so like resilient, like bad, like they're like, you're badass, like, because I guess I'm a freaking doer, like I just go, you know, like, so they're like, you're badass, like, but I think they mean by like I'm not afraid.
Well, you came in here and I told you something And you were like, oh, just do bup, 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 bup. I'm like, what? Like, you were like, just do this. I'm like, okay. You were just like, I don't know. Maybe you're really good at like just being creative or being open-minded or just offering suggestions to people that they're like, oh, why didn't I just think of that? I think maybe you look at things in a different way that 100%. Give people a little bit more, I guess like it gives them a little bit more clarity in their mind to be like, oh, okay, well, why didn't I think of that? I don't know. Maybe you're good at helping people with direction.
100%. I'm a good guide for sure. I'm a good guide. I'm a great coach because I feel like, because I've been through it. And so I've always like pivot. I'm a good pivoter. I know how to pivot. I'm a good pivoter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cindy. Oof, so much. Where can people find you? Plug yourself. All the things. Where can people find you?
So people can find me on my website, Cindy Canek. It's just CindyCanek.com. It's actually getting revamped. And on Instagram, I'm really highly active on Instagram. I love social media. I feel like at least for me, I've learned to use it for the positive. So just my first and last name too, Cindy Canek. Just everything's right there. Like if you click on one of those things, you can send me a message. I answer all my DMs. That's
Don't how you have Divina?
Oh my God, all my other brands. Yes. So I have my Divina page. That's my merch, which is Empowering Women merch. That I started back in 2018 for the women conferences. And I have my jewelry line, Celestial. And I have my pocket theory, which is kind of dormant right now. It's called La Botanica, which is all herbs and stuff. But it's been dormant. It's going to come back soon. But right now the active is my earrings and my merch. And, of course, my healing services. So.
Love it. Thank you guys for listening. Follow, like, subscribe to the podcast. And I'll talk to you soon.